Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We're going from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order, in the way it was written, the way it happened, and we're learning some fascinating stories. God is a very detailed God. When he gave the law, especially when they went, had the Exodus, you know, we're not slaves anymore. God has to teach them. They've been slaves for 400 years. They don't know how to live. So he gave not only the 10 commandments, and that was the beginning, but there was hundreds of commandments. It's what you do, how you live, how you react, what you don't do. And it's phenomenal. Today, we're going to pick up in Exodus chapter 22, talking about the laws of protection of property. That's why we have insurance companies, by the way. And insurance companies are multi-billion dollar corporations, and they're all over the planet, and it's a money-making business. So I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 22 called the protection of property, because God even had some stuff to say about that. Verse 1 of chapter 22 of Exodus. If someone steals an ox or a sheep and then kills or sells it, the thief must pay back 5 oxen for each ox stolen, 4 sheep for each sheep stolen. If a thief is caught in the act of breaking into a house and is struck and killed in the process, the person who killed the thief is not guilty of murder. But if it happens in daylight, the one who killed the thief is guilty of murder. We're in verse 3. Now, listen, you got to pay attention. The best thing I've ever recommended, this is just me speaking right now, get your own Bible, get a nice liberal translation. There's so many. I read the New Living Translation all the time. I like that. I like the New King James. The Amplified gets kind of wordy, but it's really good. It illustrates. The Message Translation gets very wordy, but gives some great illustrations. Get something that you enjoy to read. So we're going to pick up here again in verse 3. A thief who is caught must pay in full for everything he stole. If he cannot pay, he must be sold as a slave to pay for his theft. If someone steals an ox or a donkey or a sheep that's found in the thief's possession, then the thief must pay double the value of the stolen animal. If an animal is grazing in the field or a vineyard, and its owner lets it stray into somebody else's field to graze, then the animal's owner must pay compensation from the best of its own grain or grapes. Verse 6, if you are burning thorn bushes and a fire gets out of control and spreads to another person's field, destroying the sheaves or the uncut grain or the whole crop, the one who started the fire must pay for the lost crop. Suppose someone leaves money or goods with a neighbor for safekeeping. They are stolen from the neighbor's house. If the thief is caught, the compensation is double the value of what was stolen. But if the thief is not caught, the neighbor must appear before God, who will determine if he stole the property. Suppose there's a dispute between two people who both claim to own a particular ox, donkey, sheep, ark of clothing, or any lost property. Both parties must come before God, and the person who God declares guilty must pay double compensation to the other. Now, suppose someone leaves a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or another animal with a neighbor for safekeeping, but it dies, or it's injured, or taken away, and no one sees what happened. The neighbor must then take an oath in the presence of the Lord. If the Lord confirms the neighbor did not steal the property, their owner must accept the verdict, and no payment will be required. But if the animal was indeed stolen, the guilty person must pay compensation to the owner. If it was torn to pieces by wild animals and remains of the carcass can be shown as evidence, no compensation will be required. If someone borrows an animal from a neighbor and it's injured or dies when the owner is absent, the person who borrowed it must pay full compensation. But if the owner was present, no compensation is required. And no compensation is required if the animal was rented, where the boss is covered by the rental fee. Verse 16, if a man seduces a virgin who's not engaged to anyone and has sex with her, he must pay the customary bride price and marry her. But if the father refuses to let him marry, the man must still pay him the amount equal than the bride price of a virgin. Now, boy, there's a lot of detail in that, but that's a huge statement. Verse 18, you must not allow a sorceress to live. If anyone who has sexual relations with an animal, he must certainly be put to death. Anyone who sacrifices to God other than the Lord must be destroyed. You must not mistreat or oppress foreigners in this way. Remember, you yourselves were foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must not exploit a widow or an orphan. If you exploit them in any way and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will blaze against you. I will kill you with a sword. Then your wives, your widows, and your children will be fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people who are in need, do not charge interest as a moneylender would do. If you take your neighbor's cloak as security for a loan, you must return it before sunset. This coat must be the only blanket your neighbor has. How can a person sleep without it? If you don't return it to your neighbor cries out to me for help, I will hear, for I am merciful. You must not dishonor God or curse any of your rulers. You must not hold anything back when you give offerings from your crops or your wine. You must give me your firstborn sons. You must also give me the firstborn of your cattle, your sheep, your goats. But leave the newborn animal with its mother for 7 days. Give it to me on the eighth day. You must be my holy people. Therefore, do not eat any animal that has been torn up or killed by wild animals. Throw it to the dogs. Now, I hope you've been listening. We've been coming to chapter 22 of Exodus. It's an incredible passage. God is so detailed. Like I said, when I was working years ago as a school administrator, and I teach this to seniors, the seniors had to come to class. We had a biblical worldview class, and so had it every day. And what I wanted to know, it was required to graduate from my school, you must have this class. And what I wanted to know is God thinks different than the world. God has different opinions in the world. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Think on these things, whatever is lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, good report. Think on these things. Don't think on the other things. God is so detailed, and God's good, and God is just. But humans who don't know the word of God, God had to make laws. They don't know me yet with their heart. So I'm going to have to make laws, and so they'll know me with their mind. So here in Exodus, it's an incredible book. Everybody ought to read it at least one time. We're in chapter 23. We're going to pick up the call for justice. God said, everybody needs to treat everybody right. Treat everybody the same. So here it is in chapter 23, verse 1. Listen to what God's thinking. You must not pass along false rumors. You must not cooperate with evil people by lying on the witness stand. You must not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you're called to testify in a dispute, do not be swayed by the crowd to twist justice. Do not slant your testimony in favor of a person just because that person is poor. In other words, don't be moved by people rich or poor. Do what's right because it's right. Do what's right. Verse 4, if you come upon your enemy's ox or donkey that is strayed away, take it back to its owner. If you see that the donkey of someone who hates you has collapsed under its load, do not walk by. Instead, stop and help. In a lawsuit, you must not deny justice to the poor. Be sure to never charge anyone falsely with evil. Never sentence the innocent or blameless person to death. For I never declare a guilty person to be innocent. Take no bribes, for a bribe makes you ignore someone and something that you clearly see. A bribe makes even a righteous person twist the truth. Verse 9, you must not oppress foreigners. You know what it's like to be a foreigner. If you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. Verse 10, plant and harvest your crops for 6 years, but let the land be renewed and lie uncultivated during the seventh year. Then let the poor among you harvest whatever grows on its own. Leave the rest for the wild animals to eat. The same applies to your vineyards and your olive groves. Verse 12, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day, you must stop working. This gives your ox and your donkey a chance to rest. People always wonder, what's the deal with this? gives the animals a chance to rest. You don't kill them off. Oh my goodness, is that just not smart? So he said that it gives you animals a chance to rest. It allows your slaves and your foreigners living among you to be refreshed. Everybody needs a day of rest. It's in the law of God. Verse 13, pay close attention to all my instructions. You must not call on the name of any other gods. Do not even speak their names. Verse 14, each of you must celebrate three festivals in my honor. First, celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast. Just as I commanded you to celebrate this festival annually at the appointed time in the early spring in the month of Abib. For that is the anniversary of your departure from Egypt. No one may appear before me without an offering. Second, celebrate the festival harvest. When you bring me your first crops from your harvest, that's what that's about. Finally, celebrate the festival of the final harvest. At the end of the harvest season, when you've harvested all your crops from your fields, at these three times each year, every man in Israel must appear before the sovereign, the Lord. You must not offer the blood of any sacrificed offerings together with any baked goods containing yeast. You must not leave the fat from the festival offerings until the next morning. As you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. You must not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Verse 20, see, I am sending an angel before you to protect you on the journey, to lead you safely. God, listen, God just didn't deliver. I got your day planned. I got tomorrow planned. I got next week planned. God's a planning God. He says, for I have prepared you a great land. Verse 21, pay close attention and obey the instructions. Do not rebel against my leaders, for he is my representative and he will not forgive your rebellion. But if you are careful to obey him, follow all my instructions, then I will be an enemy to your enemy. I will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So you may live there, and I will destroy all of them completely. You must not worship the gods of these nations or serve them in any way or imitate any of their evil practices. Instead, you will utterly destroy them and smash their sacred pillars. He says, now there's a lot of wording in here because of the New Living Translation. God said, all these idol stuff, you must utterly, utterly destroy them. Completely, totally, no remnant, get rid of it. But verse 25, he says, you must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food. I'll bless you with water. I'll protect you from illness. There'll be no miscarriages. There'll be no infertility in your land. And I will give you long, full lives. Verse 25 of chapter 24 of Exodus. You ought to cut that out and put that somewhere. It is the blessing of God. He said, if you'll serve under the Lord, if you do this, I will bless you with food. I'll bless you with water. I'll protect you from illness. There'll be no miscarriage. There'll be no infertility in your land. And I will give you long, full lives. Who wouldn't want that? So verse 27. I will send my terror ahead of you. I will create panic among all the people whose lands you will invade. I will make all your enemies turn and run. I will send terror ahead of you and drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites. But I won't drive them out in a single year because the land would become desolate and the wild animals would multiply and threaten you. I'll drive them out a little at a time until your population has increased enough to take possession of the land. I will fix your boundaries from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, from the eastern wilderness to the Euphrates River. I'll hand over you people living now, living in the land, and you will drive them out ahead of you. Make no treaties with any of them or their gods. They must not live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me. If you serve their gods, you'll be caught in a trap of idolatry. God's laying out a really nice system. Chapter 24, verse 1. Then the Lord instructed Moses, come up here and bring me Aaron and Abihu and 70 of Israel's leaders. All of them must come worship from a distance. Only Moses is allowed to come near to the Lord. The others must not come near. none of the people may be allowed to climb on the mountain with him. Then Moses went down to the people, repeated all the instructions that God had given, and all the people answered one voice, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded." We're going to end that there today because it's about ready to change. You know, as they say, sometimes we're going to change channels, do something different. God understand all the details of coming out of slavery, being able to live for themselves, and establish himself as a nation. God wanted a people that he could point to the world and said, "These are my people. I'm their shepherd. They are my sheep. See how I love them. See how I protect them. See how I give them long life. See how I prosper them." God wanted the people to show off to the world. God's trying to save the world. God loves everybody, but he had to start with one group of people. And that's where the Jewish people, that's why this thing started with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a reason for the whole story. It is so detailed. It's so accurate. It's unbelievable. So we'll pick this up next time. It's going to be really good. We're getting ready to change almost. As they say, we're going to change channels. It's going to be very exciting. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.